cut the legs off of our pants.
Threw our shoes into the ocean.
Sit back and wait through the daylight.
Sit back and wait through the daylight.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Guilt by Association Football.
Take two.
I'm Ben McCormick, joined by Ryan McCauley and Rob Moyer. Guys, how are you?
Doing well.
Still awake now.
Yeah, much better than last week.
Yeah, it feels like last week didn't happen, so I'm not counting last week as a podcast.
Last week barely happened.
I was asleep the whole time.
I literally woke you two up.
Yes, I was taking
the podcast,
a nap.
And then I'm pretty sure you went right back to sleep after I left.
I was napping on Rob. I actually didn't go to. I didn't fall asleep that night. I just stayed up the whole day. I couldn't fall asleep.
You didn't go to sleep after the podcast?
Nope.
That's good.
Yep. Good times. Good times.
Classy. Yeah.
We got a pretty thick podcast, despite not much happening in the world of U.S. soccer.
Yeah, what do we got? List it off.
We got the expansion draft. We got some Montreal players, actually. They have a decent squad. Quick NCAA tournament update. Our usual Yank news rundown. A little fortune-telling, a little prognostication here with the 2014 roster prediction update.
Crystal ball action.
Exactly. A little getting our keen on. And then closing up the Wisconsin soccer update and a little bit of Yank of the Week. And then we're off to next week.
Sounds good. Let's start with Montreal Impact. They've done, they've made a lot of news in the last
day
or so with the expansion draft. First impressions?
Given
they got some talent.
They do.
With the two moves they made today, they've got a pretty
two moves. One of them was to get Arnaud,
highlighted by Chivas USA's continued incompetence.
What?
To run a club.
What happened?
Well, nothing. Chivas was not today, so.
Yeah, that was just Valentin and Braun, right?
Yeah, but we have another little
what happened?
I guess you'll find out, won't you?
Wait, we're in that portion of the show. I need to find out now.
Yeah, well, you'll find out what, because you didn't do your research coming in, so else you'll find out blindly. we'll start with the draft itself. The 10 players they took were Jeb Borowski from the Whitecaps, Bobby Burling from the Earthquakes, Brian Ching from Dynamo, Josh Gardner from the Crew, Justin Mapp from the Union, Senna Nayasi from the Rapids, James Riley from Seattle, Seth Sinovic from the Sporting Kansas Cities. Yes, I said that.
Good pick. Mm-hmm.
Zarek Valentin from Chivas USA and Colleen Warner from RSL. And then the day of, they also they sent Riley to Chivas for Justin Braun and Gerson Mayen, which is the equivalent to armed robbery because they already had five outside backs. So, take Riley. Give us your best forward.
And Mayen's not exactly anything to sneeze at as far as young talent goes.
He's international, so.
Yeah.
And then they also received Tyson Wall, their eighth left back, for allocation money. So after the draft, they had Borowski, a right back, Garner, a left back, Riley was gone, Sinovic, left back, Valentin, both ways, Wall, left back, as well as previously signed Hassoun Kamara, right back. So they had like nine outside backs.
Rivas is a defender, too.
Center back, though.
Oh, okay.
So they're
assume they're not done making moves, though.
No,
not at all.
Which they made clear by they then picked up Brian Arguez a few days later to join the core that they drafted, as well as the four they had signed previously: Evan Bush, Hassan Kamara, and Sinisa Ubiharipovic, who all came from the Impact, as well as their first signing, Nelson Rivas, the former Internazionale center defender, who has won international cap with Colombia. So picked up Arguez, and then today they sent Sinovic as well as allocation money back to KC in exchange for Davy Arnaud.
Solid move.
Yeah, nice move. Arnaud no longer really has a role with KC, and he'll be the engine of that Impact midfield. The other move they made today was they benched Evan Bush by picking up Donovan Ricketts from the LA Galaxy.
How did they do that? How did they swing that?
Allocation money.
All allocation money?
All allocation money.
Which means that the Galaxy have enough confidence in Saunders.
Which I don't fault them for.
Yeah.
And Perk's not a bad keeper either.
He's not.
Well, good for them,
neither is Mike McGee, apparently.
McGee's solid.
He's okay.
I like it so far, honestly. They've they made some real solid moves.
I think the biggest question mark right now is what happened with Brian Cheng.
Indeed.
I really don't think he's going to play for Montreal.
No, absolutely
no,
not.
No, I mean, there's just no way it's going to happen.
I'm trying to decide who becomes more incompetent. Is Chivas stupider for giving away Braun Mann as well as losing Valentin for James Riley? Or is Houston stupider for saying, oh, they won't take Cheng? Oh, shit, they took Cheng. We are fucked.
From a financial standpoint, I'd say it was Houston. Because Cheng was the face of the franchise, and they made it clear that when they opened the new stadium, they wanted to have Cheng there, since he was the most important player to the team in, what, how long have they been around? Like 5 years in Houston?
Not longer than that, I think.
Like somewhere in the neighborhood.
But he's been their captain from day one, I believe.
Yeah, so.
And Stu Holden was the other face, and he's gone.
They were both pretty damn stupid. You know,
Rico Clark, he's gone. De Rosario, gone.
And now they have a few other pieces. You got Cameron, who's a popular face, as is Brad Davis. But well, still.
Cameron can't stay healthy, though.
No, he can't. But Brian Cheng has been there since day one. Likeable personality. Everyone loves him in Houston. So I think that he'll find a way back to Houston.
That or they're really confident in Will Bruin.
Yeah, he had the hat trick early on, and I don't think we really saw much of him.
He got hurt, didn't he?
I think he did. You're right.
While I was saying, I think the whole Cheng deal is going to be coming down to a deal for Heinle to send him to Montreal because he is from Montreal.
Now, I don't credit Ivas for much, if ever, and I believe that we talked about not mentioning him on the podcast, but he did have some interesting thoughts today on Twitter. Which would be
he
trading for intelligent ones. And that would be dealing Cheng and some allocation money for Heinalt. And Heinalt is a Montreal native.
Yeah, that's not his creative idea. That's been floating around for days.
Oh, has it?
That's when Rob mentioned that the day the draft happened.
So then, good on you, Rob.
Ives gets his information from Rob?
No, Ives just takes shit and people doesn't credit them.
If Ives is getting his information from me, he's got some problems.
Well, no, everyone thought that. So it's not it's been from numerous sources. I mean, what's his face?
Grant Wall.
Scrolling down. Phil Shane also talked about that as a possible move.
I think it makes sense for all parties involved. Now, granted, Houston never wanted to give up Heinle for anything. But you can get Cheng and some allocation money. And I imagine that that's what's being haggled over right now. Because there's certainly contact between the two clubs and negotiations going on, pretty much as soon as the draft ended.
They've said that they're in contact. And right now, they have Rivas and Burling at center back. And then their backup is... Nobody.
I like Rivas, and Burling is a good player, but...
Rivas hasn't really done anything. He was with Dnipro in Ukraine because... Inter didn't really want him and shipped him over to Livorno, I think, and then over to Dnipro. But I don't really think you can...
DP money? Are they paying him DP money?
Of course not. I hope not, at least.
So there you go. Montreal Impact. I also like Map. Map is an
He's too expensive for an average
player.
They
could take Map, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a big win for Philly. Because he's expensive and...
I think he's talented.
And we got to keep Freddy.
He's talented, but he's lazy as shit and just doesn't know how to play soccer.
Well, that's a problem.
I
stick by it.
Absolutely,
he's
a waste of talent.
I think that because he's being given an opportunity to actually... Well, I'm pretty sure he'll be told from day one that he's a starter because they don't really have anybody else
Matt's
right now.
His whole career has been a career of opportunity,
that happened at Philly, too. Philly was the new change of pace for him. Philly is the new place where he's the man. And then, oh shit, I suck still.
Forgot. Oops.
So
we'll see what happens.
And I think he starts. Like my 11 I see is Ricketson goal, back line of Wall, Burling, Rivas, and Valentin.
That's a good back line.
It's a good back line, yeah. And then midfield of Warner and Arnaud in the middle with Mapp and Nyasi on the wings, and then right now Braun and Cheng up top.
It'll be somebody else.
Which makes you wonder who replaces Cheng on the roster when he leaves. So I don't really see.
That's tough.
I don't see May and Arguez starting.
There's still other signings that they can make outside of MLS.
I think the re-entry draft might be a big day for them as well.
Probably. For an expansion team?
And it was smart by Montreal to bring in, like, a lot of defenders, because you see teams like Vancouver, their first year, and they just get absolutely peppered.
Peppered?
Yes, they get peppered in front of goal, and they gave up the most goals this year, I believe. Like,
a lot of them.
60, maybe?
Really?
I don't know.
Well, it was a lot. Even though they had demerit.
Yes. I think it was almost like 2 goals a match, which in MLS is unheard of.
It's a big number.
All right. What's next?
We'll do a quick touch on the college tournament, because despite people's best efforts, college is still a big part of the American soccer movement.
No.
Yes. Shut it.
Are you one of those people who doesn't like the college scene?
No, it's very important. I mean, despite...
Oh, I thought you were trying to say that you were one of those people.
No, it's foolish. I mean, look at every year there's a decent class that comes in. Now, guys like Bunbury recently were from college.
Perry Kitchen stealing Marfan's defensive player of the year.
Yeah, he didn't deserve it. Wingers never win.
Because Garfan deserved it more than his brother.
Outside backs never win defensive player of the year. It's always a center back. But it's the most recent update. We got the Elite Eight set. We'll see top seed UNC versus St. Mary's. And then Louisville and UCLA on the bottom half of that bracket. Over the other side is Connecticut and UNC Charlotte, where that plays USF and number 2 seeded Creighton.
Creighton Blue Jays.
Featuring Ethan Finley, who had a monster game over the weekend. So, you know, 1 and 2 are still in there. Actually, 1, 2, and 3 are still in there. I think the big shock is Akron going down to Charlotte over the weekend. We always assume.
Well, now
Akron,
Porter can.
Yeah, Porter can focus
on.
Yeah,
you can get to
now.
Work.
Was Akron a top 5 team in the nation this year, though?
Akron was a 6 seed, I believe.
A 6
so it was
seed?
A down year for them.
Yeah.
Actually, Akron didn't get a top 10 seed. I lied to you.
So it was definitely a down year for
them. Akron was, they weren't even seeded, actually. So, yeah, down year for them for sure.
Also, Creighton, we have Dorian O'Loughlin repping Marquette University High School.
Yeah, buddy.
Playing for them, the number 23. Just thought I'd point that out.
Look at this guy. He's a freshman, though, so he probably doesn't play.
Dorian O'Loughlin. You don't get much more Irish than that.
See, in terms of the Big East, Rutgers out. Louisville.
How's Marquette doing?
They're still kicking. Marquette didn't qualify.
Shut it.
Well, Providence is out.
Yeah, we had a hell of a year. 500.
Well,
above 500.
Overall?
I think that's it. St. John's is out, so that's the Big East contingent.
When did Providence lose?
Right away, I think.
Yeah, I figured.
Actually, they beat Dartmouth and then lost to Santa Barbara.
Okay. Yeah.
So, we got the quarterfinals December 2nd through the 4th, so tune in if you feel like it.
Or don't.
Or don't.
All right, what next?
Yeah, that was fun.
It was a great time.
Yank news.
Lots of it. Let's go.
We got a thick Yank news today. The breaking...
That first is in all caps. Must be important.
Question. Did Alkmaar play today, this weekend?
Maybe. I don't know.
Unsure.
I did not see them play.
Look at Rob trying to do research over here.
Look at Rob half-assed doing research.
Hey, it's
what,
a start.
They play on Friday? It's messed up. I know they didn't play Monday or Tuesday.
I don't know.
Let's just launch into Yank news. There's a lot of...
Josie didn't do it. Josie did nothing. So that's your Josie update. He didn't do anything. The breaking news here is that according to Simon Borg, according to some Venezuelan guy, the U.S. will be playing Venezuela on the 21st of January in a unknown location.
So that confirms 2 January matches.
Possibly.
Not Panama?
We'll see. I don't. Maybe.
It's on the FIFA
maybe
website.
We'll play it on a naval base.
Well, FIFA's website has been known to be wrong in the past.
FIFA's wrong in general.
FIFA had the Catalonia match as official, and that never happened.
True.
But so maybe not Venezuela.
So
in January.
It's going to be the January camp players in that then.
More than likely, MLS players or Olympic
players.
Let's
not speculate because we have no idea what Jurgen's going to do. It's
not
even worth speculating at this
point. Wild card, bitches.
Is it safe to assume it will be in the United States, though?
No.
No, not well. Ugh, Venezuela.
The answer
that's just a bad road
trip. The answer is no. Nothing is safe to assume with Jurgen in charge.
Don't think we're
Venezuela isn't drive. Safe either.
I don't think we're going to drive.
Venezuela isn't safe either.
Well, we were fine when we were there for the Copa America in 2009.
It's not Colombia. Let's not blame Colombia.
Some transfer news. Edgar Castillo is popping to his sixth club in 5 years.
This is going to be the one. I can feel it.
Yep, this is his chance to be average. He's going to
break out, and then he'll get relegated.
Yep. So Castillo is moving to Tijuana. Bornstein probably
also
on the
move. Also a Tijuana.
Bornstein's not Tijuana.
No.
No.
I mean, just beside more Americans headed to Tijuana.
Well, yeah, Joe Corona is currently there, and he actually suggested one Greg Garza.
Mm-hmm.
So Garza's on trial with Tijuana. We might have three Yanks over there.
Garza might finally find a club. See, now he's the kind of guy where if the Impact hadn't drafted as many guys on defense as they did, that I almost expected him to have a trial there at least. But they're set there. So
well, the other trial at Montreal is Jeremiah White, who disappeared after a little stint in Saudi Arabia.
He had to pick him up.
He had one call up.
Yeah, I remember that.
Against Sweden a couple years ago.
I don't think he played, though.
He did. He got a cap.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
And then he ended in at Aarhus, went
didn't
to
he end up in like
Saudi Arabia.
Was it right to Saudi Arabia from Denmark? I thought that he had some stop in Poland or something.
Yeah.
Like GKS?
No, that was Johan Smith.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway,
whatever that guy.
Speaking of fringe once capped players from the Saudi or the Scandinavia area, Kamani Hill getting a trial with Hammarby.
That a boy.
So Kamani Hill is live and kicking.
Oh yeah, I got this wrong. He did go to Saudi Arabia right away, but then he did end up at GKS Bełchatów in Poland.
So Kamani Hill getting a run out.
Good for him.
Other former youth players who are without teams, Navas Kobo and Kyle Davies were released from their MLS clubs, so sucks for those guys. Lots of transfer interest coming around here. Greg Seltzer, the wonderful Greg Seltzer, adds Dynamo Kiev, Dynamo Moscow, Spartak Moscow, and Juventus to the Brekše suitors. So Brekše's interest heating up. He's going nowhere.
Can we have a separate segment for Breck called Brekšual Watch?
He's going nowhere. That's the whole watch. He
said, won't go anywhere till the summer.
Well, he said, I'm not leaving this summer.
Or the following January.
Or the summer?
No, Breck's not going to leave until the end of next season, I think.
God, he better not be another Donovan.
He's
too good.
He's only the best player we've ever had.
No.
Oh, dear.
Ben just doesn't find it sexy to be playing your whole career at FC Dallas.
I really don't.
Well, that's what you get
for
signing a 5-year contract.
You don't think it's sexy for playing for the Hoops?
I guess.
But, so,
anyway.
Brekše, rumors heating up. They're going to go nowhere. Speaking of going nowhere fast, Maurice Idu might be going to France. Auxerre, Bordeaux, Nancy.
That's a significant step up.
She's a nice lady.
In the Scottish
League. And Sochaux looking at some interest. And Blackburn also indicating interest in Maurice Idu.
I mean, I don't know why the hell they would indicate any interest in him, but they are.
Well, because of the France match where he played okay.
So, where he was on the field for a while.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
where he was present.
In people who have a future news, Gonzalez with some French interest as well, and Germany also looking to pick up the reigning MLS Defender of the Year. Bruce Arena has replacements lined up, which makes me think he's on the way out. So
you don't really line up replacements unless you're expecting a guy to leave. No, he could still stay, but it sounds like Bruce is ready for him to go.
Yeah, I think Germany's because he has a Mexican passport.
Which means that he can get a Spanish passport in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
So, Gonzalez is probably going to Germany, I think. It's my guess.
If it suits him.
It's a good fit.
What kind of clubs would you expect?
Mid-low table.
Yeah.
Bundesliga 1, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of mid-low table defenders, Tim Ream getting some interest over in England.
God.
Currently at West Brom trialing. West Brom and Bolton have showed interest.
What's more confusing, this interest or the Edu interest from higher leagues?
Whatever happened to that Arsenal interest? Is that just gone?
Well, yeah, for sure.
They made two bids.
Why?
I don't know.
Because he fits Wenger's system.
Of shitty center backs?
I guess.
He's a good center back. He's just not...
He's not fast. He can't move. He can't...
He's definitely not quality to be playing for a top English club.
Not at all.
And that's why West Brom suits him. So
I'd be questioning Newcastle attempting to buy him.
He's in the £2 million range. That's what we're looking at in terms
so
of
cheap
transfer move.
Okay.
And then to Dang continue the trend of MLSers playing overseas, getting some time in, Zach Pfeffer and Obi Okugo are both heading over to Germany for some training this offseason.
I believe last time we saw Pfeffer go overseas, they really liked him.
Yeah.
And they wanted him to stay.
Hoffenheim wanted to sign Pfeffer, but he got a better offer from MLS instead. And I wouldn't be surprised if Hoffenheim made another attempt to pick him up.
He can't go overseas until he's 18, though.
Yeah.
So.
So Okugo joins Perry Kitchen over at Freiburg as well. The other little possible training stint is Bunbury, maybe training at Newcastle, maybe, but more likely at Bolton. But probably neither, just to get some rest for that ankle. So.
And additionally, today, Steve Goff said that Bill Hamid might be going abroad again. Maybe.
Yeah, Hamid is back
somewhere.
From West Brom. And
he might be going somewhere to train.
He must just quiver every time he goes to Europe, though.
Why?
Because he never actually plays.
Never. Sucks to be him.
Yeah. So that's our transaction update.
Now for the no fun portion of Yank News.
Lots of injuries. Bobby Wood out for the... this season, he'll be out until sometime January, February, with another knee injury. This kid has fallen apart.
Which sucks, is because I'm guessing
his
that, at least from what I've heard from Brian Shiretta, that he's got some kind of talent.
He's cracking into the starting roster at Munich, and then, oh, another injury. So,
yeah. Unfortunate.
Could this be another Kenny Cooper in the making?
Maybe. It's possible. I think...
Is he an enigma on the field as well as off the field?
Well, Bobby Wood. Bobby Wood made my alternate roster after the Gold Cup. He made my alternate for the World Cup roster, but these injuries just keep holding him back, so we'll see if anything comes from that.
All right, what else?
Captain America on the sideline for 2 weeks with a pulled hamstring. So, Boca Negra. And Edu may not be with Rangers in the near future.
That kills you, doesn't it?
Not in the least. In good news, Frank Smith, he trained on Thursday and might be returning soon. So best of luck to Simic. And Zach Whitbread actually played a reserve. He played soccer, actually.
No way.
He played a reserve match.
Is he hurt?
Him and Simic.
He played a reserve match, but did not make the bench this weekend. So Simic and Whitbread might be back next week.
Is this like the Bizarro world?
It would appear so. And both Bornstein and Torres have their season ended without playing because...
Because they suck.
Well, Bornstein...
And Torres was hurt.
They're both injured.
Bornstein's hurt?
Yes.
Would it even matter?
Do you listen to when I talk in the podcast?
Every now and again.
More than Rob does.
I drift into that.
When's Torres supposed to finally get back then?
Isn't he back training?
Yeah. The season's over, so he's done until next...
Well, he'll probably get called in for January.
Probably
right?
not.
Oh.
They're giving him a rest still.
No, I don't know. Jurgen really likes Torres.
But he's not healthy yet.
Okay.
He was supposed to get those MRIs and stuff, but they probably postponed that because the season's over, so I rush him back.
True.
So there's no reason for Pachuca to push him forward quickly, which will probably slow his recovery in general, but in the long run, he'll be healthier.
Bornstein, it wouldn't matter. I don't think he has any future in Mexico. And in fact, the Timbers were smart to have picked up his rights.
Yeah, Lyle Yorks says there might be a return for him in the near future. And he's his agent, so.
And that was on Twitter, wasn't
it? So it's not a legitimate source.
There's some Mexican interest as well, but.
It might be the most. The legitimate source out there.
The agents tend to more know about the footballers than themselves, actually.
But, Otherwise, Gatt, well, the year's over, but he's still recovering from the hamstring injury.
He did. He went to the camp.
Just to hang out, though. He kind of sat around and wore some sweet swag.
I'm still encouraged that he went.
I agree. So he's at least not dead.
Right.
Sue Holden, still holding out, and Lehigh is still...
Recovering,
so... That's our injury.
Injury portion.
A couple of goals over the weekend in Germany. Actually, a lot of shit happened in Germany. Timmy Chandler scored a goal for Nuremberg.
It was a good one, too. Nice finish.
It was a good finish in your post. Andrew Wooten with a double this week in Kaiserslautern's...
You mean Woo-Woo-Woo?
I do not mean that, no. Andrew Wooten scores two in their 4-2 victory over some other German reserve team. Which is his an eighth goal of the season. So he's top five now in the regional league goal scoring. So.
And who's above him?
Pardon?
Is Terrence Boyd above him or not?
I don't know.
It's probably close.
I'm not sure. Still over in Germany, Fabian Johnson gets an assist. A nice little first touch over the back line.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Little arcing volley in the opening goal and a 2-2 draw with Freiburg. Lots of mentions of Freiburg and Hoffenheim this week. And Kaiserslautern, actually. Jai Spector got an assist with Birmingham.
What the hell?
You know, kind of looking the other direction, flicking on from midfield, and got the assist with the draw against Blackpool. Michael Perkhurst getting in the offensive action for the second week in a row. He had an assist last week in the Danish Cup.
He's in the best defense in the Danish Super League.
Then he had an assist in the last-minute winner for Nordsjælland this weekend. So Perkhurst's strong offensive skill. And just a general comment about Mark Pelosi with the Liverpool U18s is apparently killing it down there. They're loving him over there, so good for Mark Pelosi. Viljan Bijev is getting close to being healthy again.
And he'll be playing for the reserves, I bet, for Fortuna again. Yeah. So
that's our Yanks-Liverpool update as well.
Awesome.
Other shiz to talk about.
Anchor leg of this relay.
Yes. The MLS GA Tour had Netherlands again this season, and Goff dropped some magic on us. Goalkeepers Zach McMath and David Bingham. Defenders Zarek Valentin, Connor Shinowski, Kofi Sarkodie, and Michael Titty. I'm calling him Titty because it's awesome. It's actually, four defenders compared to two last year, and one with Breck Shea.
Yeah.
Midfielders Moby Okugo, Tony Schiani, Luis Gilles, Matt Castle, Jeremy Hall, Zach Pfeffer, and Dilly Duca. And then up top is Omar Salgado, Jack Mack, Corey Herzog, Will Bruin, and a healthy Danny Malonga. It's a large Philly contingent.
Where are they headed? Any indications?
They are heading to the Netherlands.
Not bad.
I'm interested to see what Danny Malonga does when he's actually healthy for a full season.
And in the starting lineup, maybe. Yeah. Potentially.
I think we'll see McMath in goal, mostly. Valentin on the right. Shinovsky and probably Okugo in the middle, center back.
Yeah.
With Valentin on the left, Jeremy Hall playing right mid.
Okugo does get a lot more recognition with these youth national teams than he does with the Union. He barely sniffs the field with the Union.
Is he any good?
Well, Okugo's on the field. Okugo captained the youth teams this last time around.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So.
And the Union just
it'll
barely
be interesting to see what he does because he had some interest overseas. I believe Okugo...
He's training somewhere, isn't he?
Well, look, we just said he's over at Freiburg. Yeah. So they actually have two of our defenders slash D-mids, because they have Pierre Kitchen as well over there. So
he's like the youth version of Juan Agudelo.
Basically.
Let's hope so, but also so hope not.
That should be a fun time over there for the young lads over there.
All right, what else? So
can we gather our horns of celebration? Any... Big cheers, Jack, for this one.
Oh, is this what I think it is?
John Hawks got fired!
Okay.
John Hawks is no longer announcing things!
I wasn't sure if this happened.
Hold on, NBC still has to announce their whole team.
This was made official on Monday or Tuesday?
Monday night.
Monday, and the
so if we had
most
done the podcast
soccer commentator
as usual,
out there, Taylor Twellman, will be taking his place.
If we had done the podcast at the usual time, this could have happened while we were doing the podcast.
But it didn't.
Which would have been amazing for Ryan.
But John Hart's got fired!
And he still had.
Yeah, and Taylor Tite's shirt will be announced. We're filling in for him. So it's a good pickup.
We love Taylor Twellman.
We love Twellman. Honestly, in bigger news, though, NBC's pushing their coverage.
Did you see the little 30-second spot?
It's a nice little teaser with the Galaxy.
Interesting the player choice, though.
Yeah, Donovan and...
Franklin?
Franklin, yeah.
And there was... There was one more in there eventually. Yeah, some guy.
But the bigger news, NBC is targeting Kyle Martino and Arlo White as their lead announcers.
Arlo White's a really good pickup.
Great voice. He just sounds like a good announcer.
Now this deal picks up this coming season?
That is correct.
Okay.
So that's some pretty sick news over there.
What else?
What else we got? Michael Hoyos in the news. Good
to see that he's back healthy, too.
Yeah, and alive after the car crash.
Right.
Which he probably shouldn't be alive, given the news reports we heard. But yeah. He's back playing again, and he wants to play for the U.S. now. Surprise, surprise.
He didn't say that. He said that...
He's open to it if Argentina doesn't call him, which, given his state, Argentina is not going to call him.
Yeah.
But the one only Brian Strada says he's probably not good enough for us anymore with his injuries. But regardless, best luck to Hoyos in his recovery, because that shit sucks. Other cool news, going off the Harks getting fired, Thomas Rongen.
Doing big things.
Pulling a rabbit out of a fucking hat and leading America's Bowl for their first ever victory.
And then they got a draw after.
They went.
They did.
they almost went undefeated. They were a few minutes away from earning the draw against Samoa in the last match. And actually missed an open goal.
Yes, they didn't.
While it was 0-0.
They didn't quite qualify, but still, they got their first ever win. Also, a fun fact about that, it's also the first transgender to ever play in a men's match.
That's true. I did hear about that. They also had three high school players, I believe, as well.
Transsexual?
Transgender. Born a man, and because in...
Oh, the Sierra thing.
No. No. He was born with male characteristics, but there's like a third gender in a lot of islands. He's the third gender. So he identifies... So two global That's firsts. Fun. So Rongen breaking barriers. Rongen needs to learn to be a little bit more PC because he said we'd be basically a lady playing center back.
What did he say?
We had a lady playing center back. Not the kind of thing you want to say when you're managing a national team, but...
Wait, what was that?
Rongen said there's a lady playing center back.
A lady.
Not the truth.
The smartest choice of words.
It's also incorrect.
Yeah. It's also just wrong.
But I can only think about that Sony episode now.
So good for Rongen. And finally, Greg Berhalter is now officially a retired man. So
it was a good career.
Over. So
in other news, which I don't think it'll go away, and I don't know if it'll have anything to do with the United States, but once again, more doubts cast on 2022 in Qatar.
By the
nothing new.
By the Australian FA president, that's nothing new. He's still angry.
As am I, and I'm sure as are much of
90% of the world.
Yeah, 90% of the world, because they're not going to air condition those fucking stadiums.
I still don't consider it news. It's just him being.
I feel like this is an advantage for us though, because we're usually one of the best, most fit national teams.
See this,
but fitness doesn't matter when you're all dead. When everyone dies, it doesn't matter.
No, because we'll last a few minutes longer than them.
No, we'll die, though, so it kind of ends our entire program regardless.
Well, no, because once they all die, then we'll just kind of sit down and chill out.
So sit down and have a glass of water.
Which, see, now, since it's
this
water
could be,
and guitar,
this
toxic.
Could be one of those things where, well, when is the next FIFA elections for president, which will have Platini in it?
4 years from now.
Oh, so after the World Cup. Well, after the next World Cup.
Yeah.
This could be one of those things where it gets closer and closer and closer, and then especially if there's a regime change where they realize, oh, crap, this is just not possible. Like, you know, this is just a horrible idea, and America is always the fallback country because we have stadiums, we have all the infrastructure, yada, yada, yada.
Not true. Mexico was the fallback when Colombia backed out in 1980 or 1986.
Well, let's face it. A lot of things are different in American soccer since 1986.
And in Mexico.
Also, yeah, also true.
Like the drug wars.
Mexico's in grape shape right now.
That's for a different podcast.
That's for a different podcast entirely.
GBA news, world news.
That would be very stupid.
Yeah, possibly the worst idea.
Let's do a quick soccer update. All right. The Wave won again. They're 4-0.
Yeah, they did. And nail biter. They were up
15-0 going into the fourth quarter.
And they nearly blew it.
But they didn't, so good for them.
Yep.
Things that suck, Chuck Kozlowskis was sent off in the 40th minute of Hellman Sports' 7-0 loss to Willem II. So, rough week for our Yanks overseas. Our Yank overseas.
Yeah.
They lost to one guy.
Yeah. Well, technically, it's two Willems, technically, so.
Oh.
Was there ever a Willem 1? Is there one?
He's dead, so. Oh. He lost to a dead man, another dead man. But yeah, 7-0. And a halftime sending off. Not a good day for Chuck.
Not at all.
It was two yellow cards, too. It was two yellow cards. It wasn't even worth it.
He pulled a Balotelli.
Who, by the way, is my favorite player in the world.
Why always me?
I want one of those shirts. I want a Wild Me t-shirt. He's the man. I love Balotelli. His new thing is screaming at women, apparently.
I thought it was fireworks.
Screaming at women?
There was a video posted today by Man City where he's getting off. He's getting the training. And one of the workers was, like, walking by. So Mario busts the door into screams. Just to freak the shit out of the woman. So,
wow.
Mario.
I back that.
He also may have broken a door
this week. May have broken
a door. One of the most manly things that you can do is scare women.
Yeah. Apparently, according to, what's his face? The Mancini, he might have to pay for a door that might have been broken after the sending off, so.
God, he could pay for six doors with whatever in his pocket.
And then burn them down.
With fireworks that he advocated.
Indeed. So, yeah, Mario, keep doing your thing. And
no, he's a dumbass.
I love Mario. Fuck you.
He's the new Joey Barton as far as just fun headlines
go. Except Barton's a real, real asshole. That guy's a dick.
He's a real, real asshole who thinks that he's really intelligent when he's not, which is hilarious.
Stupid as fuck.
He has a Smith's lyric as his Twitter bio and will retweet Nietzsche on a fairly frequent basis.
Yeah. Despite being a rampant moron.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a dirty player as well.
I'm not disputing that anymore.
I'd say more of a cheeky player.
No, it's because you're an asshole. He's a dirty player.
You're an asshole.
Love you.
Regardless, Barton sucks. Balotelli's the man.